Good afternoon. I'm Kate Manahan. Thank you for joining me for the 107th edition of New Manners Speak. This is a weekly half-hour program where you can hear firsthand about the lives of some of Maine's immigrants. During the show, we visit with individuals regarding their life stories and enduring hopes as New Mainers. Today, my guest is Maria Elizabeth Ferreira Cushing from Republic of Cabo Verde and Guinea-Bissau in West Africa. She came to the United States in 1982, has lived and worked and volunteered in Maine since 1992. And welcome to New Mainers Speak, Maria.
Thank you very much, Kate.
Here we are on this lovely June day, and I wondered if you could tell us a little bit about what a typical Sunday might have looked like in your home in Cabo Verde when you were a girl.
First, I'd like to thank you all to have me here today on this beautiful day. My name is Maria Elizabeth Ferreira Cushing, and I call myself a born in Guinea and Cape Verde because originally I have both cultures, and I belong to both. So the Sunday in Cape Verde is like a family thing, cultural, because usually we take to go to church and then visit friends. It's an opportunity that all the friends and family get together, and then for all week long working to celebrate and do something and catch up what's going on.
And were these large numbers of people, pretty big families there in Cape Verde?
Yes, we all is big, and all neighbors or friends, and we all still family when we do things together. Like my family is pretty much bigger.
And the church people were going to, is that mostly Catholic throughout the islands?
Yes, we great number that Cape Verde is more Catholic people, actually, being from the Portuguese colony, so the tendency are always being Catholic, the big numbers.
Yeah. So was that a fun time for you as a girl? Did the kids go out and play while the parents were inside talking, or how did that look?
Yes, we get a time to meet one to another and learn one to another and talking and eat together and as a family. And the parents is always around us and help us with that.
And what language were you all speaking while you were having your Sunday meal?
We speak a Creole, which is similar like a Portuguese. Unfortunately, Cape Verde doesn't have the tribes and things like that. The Creole is pretty much like people from Maine or people from north of Maine, Bingo, which is connected like a French. They have their Creole like that, but pretty much is the same. It's a Creole, but coming from the region from Portuguese language.
Yeah. That's sweet. You speak many different languages, don't you?
I do. I do speak French, English, Spanish, and Portuguese. When I was growing up, that was the time my brother was getting a little Latin. But unfortunately, they stopped. By the time I'm in the second grade, they stopped in teaching people like that.
I think you could maybe go anywhere in the world speaking those four languages, maybe short of China. You know, a lot of the world has one of those four languages as their back.
Yes.
Their backdrop. Yeah. So you are one of 12 children, number six in the lineup. Can you tell us about your special relationship with your father and your siblings?
Well, we grew up with a big family, which is as a Cape Verdean, we're always coming from a big family. Like a mom doesn't work, that they stay more at home, take care of the kids. So there wasn't any television, anything. So we always grew in a big family. But being in the middle, so I was like excited because the old ones always taking care of the young ones. So the help of the family. So we're following the command from the older ones. But unfortunately, there's one. The kids always is more like outgoing than the others. Everybody have a different way think and do things. So, but in the end, we're all together. And then it's part of big family. I love it because my house, my family always grow with a lot of family in the house. We have big house, and my father like to welcome, and even the neighbors, other family in the house. So it's a great, great experience of being with a big family.
Yeah. And even though you were from a big family, it sounds like your dad took a shine to you and taught you some things that not every girl was learning on the island.
Yes, I was very excited for the experience I have with my father, because he looking at us, all of us, and he choose something special, which me, because I was more interested in a follow up. What is he doing? My father, he was a construction worker. He come from Guinea because he was prisoner from the colonies when he went to prison. When there was the Portuguese people calling, he was fight against Guinea-Bissau and Cape Verde together. So after he get out of prison, so he moved to Cape Verde. That's the region where they come from. And then he decided to continue his life and doing the construction, build the house, and dedicate the life. But I'm the one who was more connected to him because I'm trying to learn what he doing. They put him in a position like a similar like the old, which I'm not, but I was more devoted to do things he wanted to do. I was interested to look what he's doing, so he chose me as a friend side. So I was so fortunate he teach me how to looking for life as a very young child, like 14, 16, I was willing to learn to be independent. I started work early at 16, but he's all he taught me. He said, you don't need a lot of money to build, but you need your mind to know what you want on the life. And always give it back to the community, because that's the way you see it. Mm-hmm. And then as he put him in front, he taught me how to drive at early age, which is very few men in Cape Verde was driving as a female. And then when I was 17, I was taking mechanical class and then tried to drive, but I couldn't make it because I was in 18. But when I turned 18, I was getting my driver's license, which it was in 1979.
There weren't too many women driving around.
No, it wasn't too many women, no, even too many men, because it wasn't that many cars in Cape Verde.
And not that many paved roads either,
yes,
I imagine.
The road, no. But my father taught me how to do that, and unfortunately, he died right after that. But at least I have opportunity to transport them to the hospital when he was sick. To
drive
my license.
Interesting that he taught you how to drive, and then
yes,
you
I used them, and he said you had to take that car, but I was so scared because he has the new truck, and I don't want to just take the car like that in the road. And he said, I need to go to the emergency. You need to take me. He saw it on the side, and I took them my first step on the car because it wasn't, and I was so happy because by the time I was taken off the garage, my sister already called the ambulance, and the ambulance come, and I said, thank you, God. Because I'm afraid to broke his car because
sure?
It was truck.
Yeah.
And then I was a little afraid in the road just getting my license and doing that because he loved his car. He never had any damage on the car, but he's so excited to make me do it.
You were
so
a can-do kid. You were so interested in what he was doing. He couldn't help but share his
tricks. No, but I'm glad.
Tricks.
I'm glad I make him happy because he didn't last too long. After 6 months, he passed away. Mm. But at least he want me to do what he want me to do.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You two are close. And then you grew up to be a social worker in Cape Verde before leaving for the United States. Your father had taught you to think of the community, yes. And then you applied that. Can you tell us about your job that you had there and what made you want to be a community organizer?
Very young age, as 15, 16, I always bring the kids together at my parents' house to do activity on the free time. So we do dance, tears, and stuff. So most of the kids now, they grow up, they remember me. I also make them the group together in the community, try to do. We play soccer. We go to play soccer with the other teams just to make things going. It wasn't television at that time, but we trying to find a way. So the kids that were usually put together, they're only 2 years difference of me. But because I wanted to do it, and my father always welcome kids in the house, so we're trying to do that. And then after the September 1975, I tried to do volunteers after the independence. And then they're trying to get me out to work. So I started work earlier on the administration job, but I didn't. I wasn't the age. It has to be 18. But I was already learning something as I do in the community. And then the first class opened after the 1975. After we took independence, it was for the nurse. I wasn't have enough age. I was only 17. I couldn't get the class for being a nurse. So the next class it was being the social work. And then I just can't wait. I got to do it.
You
and
were
I
just going to help people either way. So whatever, sign up for whatever's available.
I said, I'm going to go for this. I took the class. It was the first one. I called at that time Animadora Social. That's the name they gave it. And then I went to Portugal after that. I took my 2 years in the program and then come back because we don't have a college at that time. But there was a 2 years class. Or, I mean, 2 years program what you do there. And then that's it. And then I end up work with the community in the same time. But the most people who work as a social worker is the tuberculosis, leprosy, and some of the kids' nutrition things that we have to teach her and then make sure they do take the medication.
So some health food. Outreach.
So outreach, yeah, in the community. And the elderly also. And find something where elderly can be connect and trying to find a support for them in terms of food and stuff and make sure they're really doing well in the community as a social worker.
It sounds fateful to me.
You were
a Pied Piper and a camp counselor and just destined to do this work, and then that is what became available.
That's true.
Lucky them.
It's my pleasure.
And when you came to Maine, you were well ahead of other African arrivals from Ethiopia, Rwanda, DRC, and even later Somalia. How is it different being an African woman in Maine today than it was in your early days here around 92 and on?
Well, it is a big difference because earlier when I come 1989, I was living in Boston for 7 years or eight. We have more African and immigrants arrive in Massachusetts, but because my husband and I moved to Maine, which is wasn't any immigrants, we probably have them most like Asian, very few people from Europe, but we don't know. But we're African. Only people I see there is from Nigeria or from Haiti, because they come in marry with the Mainers, but very few in Maine. If you see one colored people, you look at you and like, wow, I haven't seen colored people for a long time in Maine. But in terms of other immigrants for other parts, and then it's much easier now because immigrants now have way more opportunity as we growing, and it is more opportunity. If you're really interested in do your life in Maine, Maine is the place to be. Because they're very welcome to immigrants here. So it's a big difference in years ago because it wasn't that many, but we started growing step at a time. And then the government's put a lot of things together. Mm-hmm. It's not complaining. We just have to use them wisely and then know what we're coming here for and then see. It's a country of opportunity. I have no complaint.
And you have not missed out on opportunities. You're a member of the League of Women Voters and probably 12 other organizations.
Correct. Well, I tried anything to get connected to immigrants. Even being in Maine, I like to keep myself busy. And I like to get involved. I like to get informed and correct things to do. That's what I tell all my immigrants here. If you really want to succeed, you can. But you have to know what you're coming here for. First, you had to make a plan. It's not easy. Immigration is not easy in any part of the world. But if you don't have a plan, you're not going to succeed.
I often hear people saying, oh, I'll do anything. Mm-hmm. And I think while that is so open-hearted and open-minded, it doesn't often get you there. Because then someone won't say, well, just come with me. If you say, I want to go in banking, then you say, oh, my neighbor's in banking. You know, you can help someone if they have a plan.
Yes.
But if it's just too wide open, there are too many choices.
Well, that's good and that's bad, but it depends. Again, I said, it depends where's your plane. You got to come here with a plane. It's a country of opportunity, but you have to have a plane on life. It's not easy, but thinking before you do things and see what is it can fit. You have to fit on a particular place. If you can't just take anything and then you collapse. So you know your background, you know where you come from, you know the culture is different. So you have to think what you want.
You have to be kind of creative in the process, don't you?
Like, yes.
This is what I have to give, this is what I see that's needed.
Yes. It's not easy.
No, it's not. Not in any by any stretch of the imagination.
No.
You're listening to WMPG, and if you're just joining us, welcome. This is New Mainers Speak. I'm Kate Manahan, and my guest today is Maria Elizabeth Friere Cushing, a Cabo Verdean, who is the founder of Amigos de Mente, which is also Friends of Mind. This is an independent volunteer organization that works to build health equality through international and local programs. And she does this in her spare time when she's not working at the hospital as a respiratory therapist and cardiology technician. So, Maria, you are an organizer from way back, and you were the original mastermind behind the International Women's Day celebration, which has grown into a substantial event over the years. And then you founded the organization called Friends of Mind, or Amigos de Mente. Can you tell us about that organization?
I founded Amigos de Mente in 2002. I found it. So the reason I did at that time, I was working with the Mainers community here, immigrants. So we decided to do multicultural things, and because Maine started growing slowly, but it was enough on the Maine to do something, try to show it our culture, and then try to connect to others. And then I decided to put people together and organize like a multicultural thing. And then a special celebration we did it for the Women's Day. I started that, Multicultural Women's Day, and then a women's celebration. So the reason, the main thing about that is not only that, is bringing young people together and started talking about the issues we can find in America as a transition. And then I put parents together about drugs, alcohol, how the kids can be here, because I have, for my group of people, because I born in Guinea, but I get all my cultures from Cape Verde. I grew up in Cape Verde all my life until now. So I noticed in Boston we was having issues, young youths and drugs and alcohol being deported. Every time I go to Cape Verde, an airplane, and I find like 10 kids being deported into Cape Verde. This is the kids who grow up here. Some of them even born here, and our government receiving this kid or some born in Cape Verde. It was big issues for them and parents here. So that's what I said. It's good, it's bad in America. The parents have to work to send a family, but the kids at home, you don't know what the kid's doing. So we need to be around our child. And then I don't want Maine to have the same type of thing, because at that time my daughter was in the school, Poland High School. And then we would have a lot of Asian kids there. We would start to see some issues coming in Poland High School. I'm like, what about we bring this education program that we have in Massachusetts from huge community Cavitian to Maine and start to talk about drugs, alcohol, about youths, and present them. So I bring the groups from Massachusetts. We have an organization there to Poland High School to talk about different issues about drugs, alcohol. That's why I'm trying to involve the community. And then we decide to do our first woman celebration, which is on the cathedral, where I brought us all these groups. It was everybody involved, Somalia, everything. The numbers wasn't huge like now, but everybody, it was there. It's not all about my culture, my community, because my community is not in Maine. It's still not here.
Well, International Portuguese. Women's Day is huge all over the world.
Yeah. So we do it. We call them, and then they all get together with the food. Some of them will have experience. Like we have the Adele now is the one who organized the fashion show for the Women's Day, yes. International. But when it first started, it started on that group I did, because I tried to present her. I being one of the person who do all these beautiful clothes, everything to my show, just to show them at that time that we have, it's not only immigrants here, but we have a people who have an idea, who have experience back home. They should present the Maine culture and then say, oh, this is what I can offer to Maine, because I know that.
It's a fabulous event. Yeah. And it is, you don't realize how many layers of culture are right here around us in the community. Sure. So Amigos de Mente, or Friends of Mind, has a website. Friends of Mind, westafrica@gmail.com is where people can reach out and contribute if they'd like. But to raise funds, you sell food at five festivals a year and host the immigrant reunion on Peaks Island. And then you use those funds to help get medical resources into the hands of people who need them around the world. Can you tell us about that upcoming reunion event?
Yeah.
And what you're planning and how people might be able to contribute or participate?
Yeah, this is my fifth year. I try to run it simple. I'm the small organizations. I don't have a big sponsor or something because I don't have time to put it in. And something, I have a responsibility, and then people want to look for what's coming up. So I try to run a simple, just to realize people, to let people know, when we first started Maine, there wasn't that many help. There wasn't that many grant. We started on everybody trying to put together things independently. Now we have a lot of help we don't have before, a lot of grants. But what I'm trying to make my model is a little different, simple. So I put together this event. This is my fifth year, brings the community together and picks island outside of Poland because we don't have a big place. If we have it, very expensive. And the kids love it. We go there, we run our multicultural there, music, dance. We always bring a topic to talk about, however interesting for the community.
There's your social health outreach.
Yes, yeah. Because it has to be that to cover everything. So that's the main thing we're doing for 5 years, and everybody loves to get out of Poland to do something different. But we charge. We have a couple of people who donate us food, but we make sure the ones doesn't have money, we bring them together, or they cook, or they bring something. And the ones who now are working, they pay for their fees. We combine them. It's nothing to make money, but to have fun, to be independent, and get education program going for us. So that's the way I run it simple, because I don't have that much time. I'm too involved to that. I get out of
project. Do you know what that sounds like to me? Mm-hmm. Your Sunday afternoons in Cape Verde.
Yeah, so like that.
You've been organizing kids and fun and events.
Yeah.
And bringing people together your whole life.
Yeah.
You were kind of born to do
this
event.
But it's fun. It's fun. We have the next one, the immigrant reunion, will be on the Pigs Island on September 3rd. And then it's going to be all-day program. And then we're going to have fun. And this time, I wanted to cover the cancer patient. Because I want to bring the group, the three women Cavadian, which you call Messageras. They've been supporting together. All three have a cancer. But they do their only fundraising. They do their only reach out. And they all singer. And then I want to connect them, some of the cancer people here. We didn't get the successful festival last year. We want to put them together and see if we can broaden on the event. Event's going to be run normal all day, but we always bring a topic we're interested in on the community, and just to reach out and bring people, left some people up.
This is great. So if you are an immigrant and you want to go to Pigs Island, it's going to be on September 3rd.
Yes.
How would you get a ticket or learn more about that?
Well, they're going to be numbered, and it's going to be, if you go friendsofmine.com or amigdamente, it will be the number there with a price for family. All the kids welcome, everybody. We have kids on the 12 under, all free, and then we have a special price for family. It's just for fun,
yes.
You know? And I will thank so much the bakery, Standard Bakery, will give us some donation in food. And then also there's a pizza place next to the commercial street, which is always give us the big help in the, like a 10 box of pizza for the kids, which will run
That's
out.
Great.
So very simple, we run out there.
Great.
Yes.
So for Googling purposes, it is Friends of Mind,
yes.
As if we are
M-I-D.
Sharing a mind.
Yeah.
Not Friends of Mine. Right? Because
yes.
I Googled mine at first and couldn't find you.
Yeah.
But then Friends of Mind, which I really like. You share
yes.
one mind.
Yes, one mind.
Mm-hmm.
That's true.
I love hearing about your experiences because they really demonstrate the long arcing story of the life of an immigrant. And I wondered if you could tell about how you worked your way up through jobs from laboring in a shrimp factory when you first arrived to your current job today at the hospital.
Well, that's a juggler challenge because, but I love it because I learn a lot. It's a new experience. Like you said, you come from back home, even if you know something, but when you come here, everything changed. You got to start in the beginning. But if you put it into your effort, you will reach what you want. So for me, I wasn't, as a part of Cavadian, we know we like to work to help family. We're hard work. So we all started low. So we know someday we'll succeed. So when I come in here, my brother say, you're going to go to school? I said, yes, I will start to learn it. I already know English, how to read, write, but I need to speak. And then I go like 3 months, 6 months, and I get connected, and I'm like, you know what? My friend said, I got a job for you in Boston. I just left the house, and the same day, I said, I've been working all my life. You think I'm going to be here after 6 months? I'm going to work. I can still work and go to school. My first experience, it was in a shrimp factory. It was most Kavirian was work at that time. It's a huge shrimp. But I only stay on that place, actually, maybe not even 1 year. But then I gained experience. And then from the shrimp, I moved being a waitress. From the waitress, I was going to school. I come to Maine. I started cashier on the medical. And I went to school. I get a CNA. I get a respiratory. And I'm still studying. So I think it's good to get to go to school because your mind keeps moving. You know, you can't stop.
So you're going to retire once you're a doctor?
No,
you worked your way up in the hospital.
I think a doctor is too limited. I want something I can be connected to the community.
Oh, Maria, your service to others is substantial, and it's quite beautiful. The way it connects your present life to your past life, it is not difficult at all to see how you were selected to be a trailblazer at this year's premier Empower the Immigrant Women conference. And it seems to me that you have become a woman that your father always kind of knew you would be. And I thank you so much for being my guest today.
Oh, welcome. Thank you for having me here.
I am Kate Manahan in the studio with my guest, Maria Cushing. And I wondered if you would be kind enough to introduce the song that you've chosen to close today's program.
Number 10.
Number 10. Okay. Tell us what it is called.
Criollas. Criollas is a left up the woman. It can be Criollas from Cape Verde, but it can be all over the world. We talk about women, how the woman can be. It's so beautiful. It can be suicide or life. That's why we call Criollas.
Criollas. Love it. Thank you so much.
Welcome. Thank you for having me here.
Gostosa, carinhosa, caprichosa.
Ele
é badia, ou le sampa juda. Ele é bonita, muita boa. Nós criolas, sabe na terra. Cadê sogra, cadê mel, doce mael? Já passa sabor a manhã criola. Já poche sabura, já poche amargura. Já moe água de melão manhã criola. Ajuda. Ela é bonita, muita boa. Cadê sucra, cadê mel, doce mael? Já passa sabor a manhã criola. Já poche sabura, já poche amargura. Já moe água pela manhã criola. Cadê sombra, cadê mel, doce mael, já passa sabor a manhã crioula.